Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 92, and let's see if I can do this without coughing too bad. And a half. I knew it was coming.
92 and a half.
I knew it was coming.
That's what you got to drink the whiskey for. The whiskey's supposed to help.
Oh, the sickness is still here, my friend, but that doesn't matter. We got work to do. John Morgan, cold coffee, sitting here at the Casa de Cafe. Yeah, you like what
You made it sound fancy.
You like what I did there?
It was fancy.
Frosty beverages being served all around, as you mentioned, maybe just a touch of the whiskey as well. UFC 207 is in the books.
We can
that's
have
right.
A touch more.
It might help
your throat a little bit.
I mean,
why
you
not?
Know, let's talk about what we can do. UFC 207 is in the books. It is, well, as we sit down to record this, it's 4 o'clock in the morning in
it's
Las
late.
Vegas.
It's late.
It is basically New Year's already.
He's got to do a shot.
I'm good. You don't have to pour me more whiskey right now. What's up with the
peer
pressure around here?
If you drank it, it would make your throat feel better.
Good Lord, the peer pressure around here.
I mean, it's what you do at 4 in the morning. You drink shots of whiskey, and then you drink another shot of whiskey.
Do you not realize how damn sick I am?
I swear there were years where I didn't really get sick because my – I think it was purely because of my Jameson intake.
You guys are terrible.
It's real. I bet the Irish will weigh in on that. I bet they can tell you that Irish whiskey is a natural cure to colds and ailments.
You guys are terrible. You're horrible. All right. Enough about our issues.
Yes.
Let's talk about some other issues.
Yeah, there were some people that had some serious issues.
My goodness. All right. I mean, there's no other place to start than what I think, honestly, is probably the last time we ever see Ronda Rousey fight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, right? I mean, Amanda Nunes came in and just, there's no other way to say it, absolutely destroyed Ronda Rousey. I mean, just came in there. Obliterated her, and I'm not saying this with any disrespect towards Ronda Rousey. I'm just saying, I mean, if you don't paint this as an incredibly one-sided performance, you're just not being fair.
It was,
and man, take all the garbage about Ronda not talking to the media and all this stuff. I mean, man, we talked about it not that long ago. You know, saying I really didn't hate Ronda's approach. In fact, it seemed to show some kind of mental focus, right? But after all the potential mental focus, after all the, you know, everything that she was potentially doing right, man, I'm sorry, and I don't mean this as any kind of insult, but I am struggling to see anything once that bell rang where I can look at Ronda Rousey and say, man, that was, I see what she did there, that was great, and unfortunately it just didn't go her way. To me, that looked like the same fighter from 13 months ago and just wasn't prepared for Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, and that's true. It almost looked like it was a worse performance than what happened when we saw Holly. Holly was a clear domination, but that went a lot further. I mean, I think that was the difference between Holly Holm's striking, which is great striking, but not as powerful as Amanda Nunes.
Right.
And the thing when you're talking about, like, is it the last time of Ronda, the reason I agree with that is because Ronda wants to fight. She wants to be at the top of the game. I mean, you can't bring somebody like Ronda and expect her to fight the number 10 person,
right?
The number 15.
She's not interested.
It's not going to happen. You know, she has other better things to do. But what we saw tonight was we realized that the game has caught up to Ronda, and it surpassed her in a sense. Ronda is not at the level right now to fight the champion. She's not probably at the level to fight the number one contender. But by using the favors that the UFC owed her and by using her name and knowing the fact that of what she did, she deserved that shot. This was her shot to do that. Now you got to go back and say, all right, well, we gave you that shot, but now you got to kind of work your way back up. Even Dom saying, like, all right, if TJ's got to get the shot, TJ gets the shot.
I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. I'll work my way back up. I'll do whatever. Ronda's not going to say that.
No.
I think the game, and I think the women's division has caught up to her, and the women that are at the top of the game, they're striking, is at a whole nother level. And they, I think when Holly and them, and we talked about it the other night, the game plan has it's been laid wide open,
yep.
You know, for what the Ronda answer is out there now. And but the thing about Amanda is just as soon as she hit her, and you could see it in that first and maybe second shot, it was devastating. Like, you could see the damage, and immediately Ronda started slowing and just became in like this wobbly haze. And I think it just, I don't know if it was just a matter of she wasn't quite ready for that, or just Amanda is so powerful that it did such devastating damage to her that it just immediately, it was like game over. But you knew, you saw it coming. I think everybody was kind of like, oh, it can still maybe turn. But deep down, we were like, oh, wait, no, this already looks like it's over.
It did. I mean, I think she was stunned from the very first shot, man. I think she was already, as you said, in a haze after the first shot. I think she was in trouble right away. I will say, I guess, I credit her resiliency a little bit. I mean, she didn't fold under the pressure. It wasn't like, oh, God, I'm being hit again. I mean, it did seem like she tried to press forward. But I got to say, I picked Ronda Rousey, and in retrospect, it seems so foolish. And even in my...
Wait, so you were wrong about Cody and Dom. And you were wrong about the main event. I think I picked Amanda, and
well,
I think,
sir,
I picked Cody.
Sir, that is why Cold Coffee will be joining the ranks of the picks next year. But no, I the whole thing was, and I think I prefaced it going in by saying, you know, this is an emotional pick. I don't think there's a lot of logic in it. But again, I don't think there could be logic in many picks. You just didn't know what to expect from Ronda, and I thought maybe, man, she's gonna dig deep and find something special. But what I really thought was this. I thought that she would have been coached and she would have been planning to not throw one damn strike. I'm serious. Not throw a jab, not throw a right hand, not throw nothing. Just basically keep her hands high, move forward, know that Amanda's going to come at you at some point, throw a big right hand, you slip under that, you clinch, and now you're in your judo position. That is literally what I thought was going to happen. And maybe that was the game plan. Maybe it was.
It certainly didn't look like it.
It certainly didn't look like it. It just –
I mean, I'm not opposed to her trying to throw some strikes. I mean, because I agree, and I think most people think you got to throw something to try to give something, you know. Throw a jab, you know, throw something that can get Amanda to maybe put her hands up and create an opening.
Right.
But you never saw any attempt to really try to – at one point, after she was taking some damage and actually got her paws on Amanda, she tried to – I think she tried to do a little trip,
tried to do a little
something. But Amanda was already ready for it. And Amanda's strong. I think some of the people that Ronda has fought, that trip probably would have worked very, very easy because they either – they're off balance a lot of times. It's slight difference, but you know, Amanda even said afterwards, like, she's been training judo, she's been training jiu-jitsu for most of her life, you know, maybe not to the level of anywhere of like where Ronda did, but enough to where she understands balance.
Right.
And I think when it comes to striking and the amount of boxing that Amanda has, the strength of hands, she has great balance. So she never really gets off a little bit. So when someone tries to come in there and do a slight little trip, it's not going to get her because, one, she has such overwhelming power, but she has incredible balance as well, that Ronda really would have to kind of do something like stun her a little bit with a shot to where she can maybe really get in there and get a full grasp, maybe go for, you know, get one good hook in there, maybe get, you know, grab a leg or do something. And she never even got anywhere close to that because, you know, and I think she was overconfident in what her hands were actually doing. And I think that's what Amanda alluded to at the end, was that the people that are around her are telling her that your hands are great, this is working, but nobody is really fighting back. And I know training has changed a little bit as the sports went on. Nobody's taking the punches. Nobody's taking the strikes like they used to, at least not a lot of people at the top, because I think they're worried about injury. You know,
right.
Now people are thinking more about, you know, the recurring battles that you're doing in the camps and how it's shortening their in a sense career because they're taking so many battles. And I think people have learned from that. So maybe it's a matter of in these camps or whatever. I don't know if it's just the people that are just like, let's work on this drill, let's do this, this, this. We're not really going to tag you. We don't want to hurt that face. We don't want to do whatever. That when it came time to really have somebody go in there and really go 100% at her, she wasn't quite ready for it.
She wasn't ready.
And it was just, I mean, a year off. I mean, that's got to be so tough. And then when the harsh reality of what that punch is, and coming from somebody at her level, I think, of it, again, you know, we talked about if say, Misha was able to win that, I guarantee it might have been a little bit different.
Oh, 100%.
Because Misha doesn't hit the same.
No offense to Misha Tate. It's just style make fights. Styles make fights. Yeah, and Ronda's style matches different. Up a hell of a lot better with Misha
Misha's
Tate.
Misha's going to want to grab you. She's going to want to get in there. She's going to get you down.
That's exactly where,
and
oppose where Ronda
which
wants
you. What Ronda wants. You know, we saw what happened when that style went against Amanda.
Yep.
And it was such a devastating, one-sided, just bash. And you're right. I love Misha. Misha's tough as nails. I always respect her for what she has done. And seeing Ronda go in there, that was just – it was the exact same thing that we saw from Misha, except Misha took the punches better.
Yep.
You know, because I think she's actually takes punches stronger that, you know, Amanda wasn't able to do what she did. And, I mean, that just goes to show. Amanda's at a whole nother level, and it's going to be
she
tough
because
I don't see
man.
Anybody – in the division right now that can take that from her.
Her power is devastating. Okay, all right. So the performance, man, there's only so much you can talk about 48 seconds, especially if 48 seconds. It wasn't like 48 seconds of back and forth. It was 48 seconds of one side. There's only so much you can say about it. Let's talk about the future. Set it right at the top. I think probably the last time we see Ronda Rousey. But just – and you can tell me a little bit. Obviously, you and I always have different perspectives from where our positions are. But I can say, man – that arena felt special tonight. I mean, there is something different about a Ronda Rousey fight that unless you've ever experienced it firsthand, I don't think you get it. I mean, the pop every time she was brought up on the screen beforehand. I mean, the anticipation. It's something special, man. It really is something special. And it did feel like a special fight. As much as we talked about how earlier in the week it didn't feel like a fight week, it didn't feel like a big fight week, I thought tonight felt like a big fight night. And you could definitely tell that she has so much support, man. People wanted Ronda to win that fight. But, man, when you lose in devastating fashion like that, and now you think about it, the media hasn't really spoken. She hasn't done extensive interviews in, I mean, I guess she won, you know, she lost in November of last year. She won in August of last year, but that was in Brazil. There weren't a lot of people down there. She won earlier in the year. I mean, she hasn't spent a lot of time talking to the media. She hasn't spent a lot of time, you know, because what I'm saying is, I guess, you can get over a loss if people relate to you. And if people are like, you know what, that's still my guy. That's still my girl. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it sucks, but she's pushed herself so far outside of the circle. And again, I want to make it clear. I'm not one of those people that says that she doesn't have the right to do that. But what I do think is that now that this result has come down, it's backfired. And now you've had two devastating losses in a row, and nobody can relate to you anymore because you pushed so far outside of the bubble that there's nobody that's like, yeah, she lost, but like, man, you remember what she said in that one interview? Do you remember what she did at that one point? Like, that's my girl.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, to me, this is just shocking. I mean, you and I have watched her rise from nothing to literally the biggest star in the sport.
Yeah.
And now this just seems like such an inglorious exit. But I don't see another move for her.
Yeah. And you're right. I think if she would have went out there, maybe even gave some explanation, even to the sense of, we thought we had the right game plan. I thought I had everything in check. But, you know, I wasn't prepared for how strong Amanda's punches were. It's unfortunate. I gave it my all. But I think I'm going to regroup and go back in there. And everybody would be like, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
I'm still riding the Ronda train. But you're right. The fact that she, you're right, pushed everybody away in a sense and just wanted this solitude moment between her and this fight and what she was dealing with, and she wanted to stay in her head, and she didn't want to deal with any outside sort of things. If anything, she didn't do herself any favor, because she obviously wasn't listening to the right people and wasn't listening.
It's a
to,
gamble, right? You know? You're all in. I mean, you said it. You're all in on one play.
Yeah.
And if that play doesn't pay off, you fall short.
I mean, I think people are always – I mean, people always give credit to what Ronda did and what she was able to help get the fact that we're even having women fights in the UFC. I mean, it was never a possibility until she came around, and so that she'll always leave her mark on that. But it's like you want her because I, you know, from dealing with her when I was with the UFC and then after, she was an absolute sweetheart, and you could tell how hard she worked for everything, and you just wanted this girl to do well. And when she did, everybody's pulling for her, and everybody loves her. And it's just, I think what's the hardest part is because you're dumbfounded when you see what, you know, where did that switch happen to where it was like, I don't want to talk to anything. I don't want to do whatever. I can understand enough's enough at some point. You're like, I've done enough. I just want to focus on the fight, especially in this. I can see where I've been away for a year. There's a lot of questions. I came off of one of the biggest losses of my life, or the loss of my life, you know, and then wanting to come in here to make a good thing. And I think she, in her head, wanted to be so focused and wanted and said, this is what I need to do to get me that win. Whereas, like, I just don't – it just didn't feel to me like, did you even have fun this fight week, Ronda? I mean,
no way.
You know, I if it's not fun, I mean, the $3 million paycheck outside of
the
whatever she's going to get makes it certainly nice. But, you know, how she was selling it, you know, and she wanted to be here and she wanted to do this – it didn't seem to me like she had any fun at all this fight week. So if you're only doing it for the money, that's fine. Say it is, say what it is. But, you know, if you want to come out and try to act like you want to be this, but you look like you're having the worst time of your life during the fight week, it doesn't look like it. It looks like you're trying to convince us and you're trying to convince yourself at the same time that you still want to be there. And I think after having a loss like that, I think it's eventually going to – she's going to have a hard time convincing herself that she wants to keep at it.
This reminds me a lot of when Hoyce Gracie just got beat up by Matt Hughes.
Demolished, yeah.
It reminds me a lot of that because – and I know it's a much more compact timeline, but I say that it reminds me of that because revisionist history is easy, right? It's easy for people to be like, Ronda was never that good. Ronda sucked. Ronda was blah, 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 blah. And the truth is, that's all garbage. I mean, Ronda is a special athlete, was a special athlete, did special things. Every single woman in the UFC owes her a debt of gratitude in the same way that every single fighter, period, owes Hoyce Gracie a debt of gratitude. Yep. There's no question about it. And even Amanda Nunes tonight, you know, said that she walked over to Ronda afterward and said, hey, thank you. You did so much for us. You made this happen and all that. So I know it's going to be easy, especially the way that Ronda has pushed everybody away. I know it's going to be easy to try to look back and diminish what she accomplished and what she meant to the sport. I hope people won't do that.
Yeah.
Because she meant something special. She really did.
Yeah.
But I just don't see anything moving forward in the same way that Hoyce Gracie, once he lost to Matt Hughes, it was just like, okay, thank you, Hoyce.
Yeah.
I've seen enough. You know, do whatever you got to do. Yeah. So I hope that's the case. But I want to touch on something you said earlier, because I had kind of forgotten that you had kind of worked with her so closely on her way up or whatever. But there's the other thing is I think people see, and you and I both sat there and said we didn't necessarily like the way she handled this week or whatever. But I think people probably need to understand that hasn't always been her, right?
I mean, like, not at all.
She was a great person to work with, and she did everything that had to be done.
I mean, I looked forward to every time I had to do stuff. I mean, I did shit when we did this whole thing with, like, the Las Vegas, what the fucking
Visitors Bureau
thing, where we had her going to, like, the Shark Tank at Mandalay. We took her to the top of the stratosphere where she rode the little ride at the top of the thing. You know, we took her around different things, and she took it all and she did it. And I mean, sometimes it was multiple takes, which probably set her up very well for, like, the Hollywood sort of stuff. But I mean, it was just multiple takes, and she took it all in stride, and she took it happy, and she was great. I mean, and that was, it seems like it was forever ago,
right?
when that started or whatever. But you're right. I mean, what she's done and what she's contributed, you can't ever take that away. I mean, as much as we can look now and say, oh, you know, I think it's just a matter of, I think Hoist and Ronda, you know, when they came and they were doing the thing, they were prodigies.
Yeah.
They were so far above everybody else in what they did unique. The thing is that what's crazy and incredible and awesome about this sport is all the such of these high-level athletes, the game just caught up to them.
Yep.
You know, and at some point, the game surpasses them. But it takes wonderful and unique prodigies / geniuses, however you want to phrase it, that are so good that people watch them, study them, look at what they're doing right, model themselves after it, and then find a way to mimic it and then eventually surpass it with their own skills. And that's what's happened. And I'm not saying that that's what's happened across the board, because you put Ron in there against 90%, maybe higher amount of,
she can still,
of the
you,
top.
You get outside of the top couple,
win.
She can still compete.
She can still
But what
win.
You said earlier is that is your right. I mean, she's not interested in fighting number 10.
No.
You know what I mean? She's not.
And that's the thing. Like, that's what's next is she had a shot at the title. They can't just say, all right, every time Ronda fights, she's going to get a title shot.
Yeah.
Because next thing you know, I mean, that's two losses in a row. I mean, you keep giving somebody with a two loss in a row title shots.
Nah.
It makes sense if you're trying to just make money and then you want to just, you know, in a sense, make a mockery of the sport, because that's when you see people like TJ was going out there and was saying this shit like, all right, you know, there's either some
it's rigged.
It's rigged. The system's rigged, blah, 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 you know, which gives more fuel to the fire of this whole union talk, you know, fighters association, all this other stuff. If they keep skipping the fact and just making stuff, you know, to just benefit the company and not the sport, it just gives precedent to create something like that.
Dude,
but,
I'm going to admit, that association has lost so much steam.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even connect the fact that he was saying it's rigged to the Fighters Association.
Yeah.
And it was obvious, and it didn't even that thing has lost so much steam
it has.
I didn't even make the connection. All right, well, it looks like Valentina Shevchenko, Juliana Pena, they fight in January. It looks like that'll be next for Amanda Nunes, the winner of that fight, and I think that'll be
That's
a great
a hot fight.
Amanda, God bless her, man. She, her English is coming along. Her power is there.
I love
it's
that
incredible.
She thinks her English. She's like, I'm sorry for my English. I'm like, your English was fucking great. You just did a whole press conference in English.
It was amazing. We've got the whole thing up on the MMA Junkie YouTube page if you want to check that out. We're going to have some clips out of that as well. She had some nice little stingers out there. But you had a nice little segue there, which I know is exactly what you're doing at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're just setting up segues.
I was segueing this shot right here.
Feel free to have that whiskey. But I thought what you said was perfect is that, you know, you talked about how, you know, one fighter watches another, and then they develop past them. And to me, that's what we saw with Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz. I mean, Cody Garbrandt, who has admitted, you know, he's been watching Dominic Cruz forever.
It's like high school or like whatever.
Amazing. Dude, I could sit here and talk about this fight forever.
What
this
a fight.
Incredible fight. Amazing fight. And the fact that Cody Garbrandt, I think now, is a contender for Fighter of the Year. I mean, we talked about it going in. I mean, Michael Bisping.
I think that fight made itself a Fighter of the Year contender.
Like,
literally brought it in right before the end of the year, and it came in. And it's like, that's the lasting impression. Kind of like when people say, you know, don't leave.
Stole the round.
They maybe just stole the round right there.
I agree, man, and I agree. So, Cody Garbrandt, okay. Comes out aggressive. You expect him to be aggressive. The hand speed was there. Mm-hmm. The head movement was there. But I tell you what, as this thing was opening up early on, I was a little bit scared because I thought, dude, he's wasting so much energy in, like, talking shit, you know, gesturing, pointing back to the center of the cage. Yeah. I'm like, dude.
You saw that in the second round, the end of the second round.
You have got to last five rounds with Dominic Cruz.
Yeah.
Who Dominic Cruz is like Mighty Mouse. Like, this dude is going nonstop. You can't waste any energy. And I thought, I was like, dude, this does not bode well for Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah.
Even though I thought Garbrandt was fighting very well. I mean, I gave Cody the first round.
Did you?
I did. I actually gave Dominic the second. Dude, on scorecards, it's reversed everywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody had the same. They were so close. If you look at the judges, yeah. Nothing was agreed on in the first two rounds. If you look at the media, nothing was. I was sitting right next to Kevin Ioli.
Yeah.
I had Cruz 1, Garbrandt 1, Cruz 2. He had Cruz 1, Garbrandt 2. We're literally 12 inches apart from each other.
Yeah.
Watching from the same perspective. All we do for a living is cover combat sports, and those damn rounds were so close, we had them switch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, amazing, amazing fight. Very close, very competitive. But as this thing wore on, Garbrandt just took over. And I thought, to me, this was such a star-making performance because not only did I think it was very clear that Garbrandt won, of course, he took over that brutal fourth round where he scored a couple of knockdowns, you know, 10-8 there. But not only that he won, but goddamn, the style that he won with, bro.
Yeah.
Again, you know, trash talking is one thing, you know, and trash talking is kind of fun, but the truth is, trash talking, we don't really get to hear about. Like, we don't really know what's being said. I mean, you think back to, like, Carlos Condit and Nick Diaz where, you know, we had to ask after the fact, hey, what did he say? And Carlos was like, oh, I remember him saying, like, oh, we're throwing spinning shit now. And you're like, oh, my God, that's so classic. That's amazing. But we didn't know about it until the press conference.
Yeah.
But what Cody was doing in there, you know, dropping his hands, moving his head, dusting his shoulders off after he, you know, after he avoids a couple blows.
Doing some dance moves. I was like, dude, oh my God, what are you doing?
It was just, I'm sorry, man. To me, this might have been one of the best performances of the year by anybody, hands down. Just incredible.
You know, I actually scored it. I gave Cody the first round. I gave Dom the second round. I actually gave Cody 1, 3, and 4.
Right.
I actually gave Dom the fifth
round. Okay, that's what I had. 2, 2, and 5 for Cruz.
I thought he did enough, but yeah, the first round. The only reason I gave it to Cody, literally the punches. Actually, the first couple rounds were almost identical in strikes, but Cody had one extra strike and he had the takedown. Mm-hmm. So I thought the takedown was enough to give him that particular round. I thought Dom came out good in the second, but then the third, I think it was the third, or no, it was the fourth round where he just literally...
Oh, he took over the fourth.
He just took over the fourth, but I thought Dom came back and did great. But yeah, I gave it 3-2. I know a lot of people were saying maybe 10-8 the fourth round, but I didn't, even if it didn't, it was enough already in my book. But man, I was so frustrated. And it's like, believe me, as much as I love my Ohio boys, I love whatever, I try not to ever, ever say anything in a press room. I try not to say whatever. I'm trying to be unbiased. I'm trying not to do whatever. But when Cody started doing some of that shit, he'd knock him down and he'd stop and he'd point and he'd do a dance move where I'm thinking like, brother, you got mad fucking wrestling skills. Can you please just jump on him and do some ground and pound? Don't do something
that
you're
going
to get caught. Then you're like, oh, shit. You know, in the post-fight press, we're like, bro, what happened there? And he's like, oh, I made a mistake. I was too busy dancing that I didn't jump on the opportunity, and then I ended up getting caught by some crazy kick or something. But whatever. That didn't happen, and I'm very, very happy for him. And the Ohio in me is super, super happy. But what I was just so impressed, and this is even when we went to Team Alpha Male and I was shooting some of the B-roll of him working out, his head movement, and it's just control of his upper torso to kind of move away from strikes. He was able to just evade punches from Dom that nobody else has been able to do. Dom still caught him. He still got him on some shots, and he did some damage. Like, at the end of the first round, his right eye was damaged. Yeah. You could see it on the outside. It was bleeding a little bit. So you could still see that Dom was still able to, but you didn't feel that he damaged Cody,
right?
Because he was evading
like
so many shots.
Like, the scores were pretty close.
They were so
But the fight didn't feel close. That close. The fight didn't feel that close.
Some of the rounds that you saw, like the first couple of rounds, you know, just seeing how close the stats were, it was just wow. But it didn't feel. Yeah, it's like one of the things, the numbers didn't show what it was. But as it went on and You know, part of me, I'm happy that he had that it worked out for Cody, because some of the showmanship that happened, it kind of reminded me of what MVP Michael Vick Page goes in there and does some stuff. But it's the same thing that, you know, you're like, please don't get caught. So then you look like the jackass.
Yeah, because you would.
I mean, we saw what happened when Anderson did that to Chris Weidman,
uh-huh.
and he got caught and he got dropped and then started whatever sort of downfall after the fact. But so happy.
Yeah, that could have been embarrassing.
It could have been very, very bad, but it worked out, and now he looks like he's like this uber savant that where's this guy been? You know, what's he been doing? But he's been grinding. He's been there. He's been doing it. And, man, his hands are so quick. But just watching what he was able to do, just evading the shots that when Dom did land some shots, did some damage. But overall, at the end of the night, Cody looked untouched. Dude, by the time he came in the presser, he looked great.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, as you said, Cruz is the master of movement, right? But it's that crazy, wild, herky-jerky style that it's hard to time, it's hard to get the rhythm. But Cody, his movement was just as good. It was just in smaller, more compact spaces. It was that more the traditional...
That's the boxer
It was
side.
More the traditional boxing, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, I see your herky-jerky movement. I don't need to move nearly as much as you. I can just rotate my torso, as you said, that upper body control, and all I need to do is this, and you're leaning way over here and leaning way over there and doing this, and all I need to do is just one tiny little.
Yeah.
And again, we should let people know I'm definitely
you
doing
are
that.
You
I'm
are doing.
I mean, look at my. I mean, it probably feels just like Garbrandt right here.
It,
you know what
it
I mean?
Actually like, looks just like it. It looks just like. But you know the funny thing about.
Click off again.
The funny thing about even like with the herky-jerky movements of Dom, after a while, even that becomes a pattern that people can see. And I think Cody saw that, because what I was starting to anticipate when he kind of gave up, and when I was little, you know, he stopped doing the leg kicks, because I thought he was going to eventually hope for, while working the leg kicks, that he was going to try to catch Dom in one of those movements, because he does such a severe erratic movement to the left or the right where he really puts his body
across.
Into it, that I thought that he was going to try to catch him with a kick, and I thought that would maybe be the end of it. But he started timing that so well, and then but he gave up on doing the leg kicks, and you even hear his corner was like, he was either, I think they were either saying at one point, use your wheels, like use your movement, but then I thought I heard him say, take the wheels. Which I took that as meaning like take Dom's legs out, which seemed like what was part of the plan, at least from the first at least the first round.
That's how
the
I
second
would
strategize
round, to beat him.
He looked like he was slowing down. That's why I started getting worried that it was expelling too much energy, because he was throwing everything into those punches and everything in the kicks. But all those kicks that he landed in the first or second two were really solid, because he was putting a lot into it. But I was afraid that he was putting too much energy into it, you know. But I don't know, man. I was happy for how that performance worked out. But all the credit to Dom. I mean, like, I know I'm all about Cody. I'm all about the Ohio guy. But I'm all about the fact that Dom's been so amazing, and he's been so overwhelmingly impressive in what he's done, and his style has been so hard. It's been an enigma for a lot of guys. But same thing with Ronda. And I don't know if it's just Cody is one of the first people that kind of has the ability to do the movements that he can stand in there and figure out it. Because I think when you're at that level, especially on a boxer's, that they can do the minute movements to evade it, they see the game slower than the rest of us do. So when Dom's in there and he's doing these movements, I think a lot of guys are slower in the reaction time. They're slower to understand what he's doing, so that when they swing, they're missing.
Yeah.
They're not catching him because he's already gone. He's already moved beyond that point. But the way that you get these great boxers that have such great movement, they see things quicker at a different speed. And I think that's why when Dom was doing the movements, Cody was there. He was anticipating it, because he could already see the movements ahead of time, in a sense.
Well, and here is what I'm thinking, because I picked Cruz coming into this fight. Not that I didn't think Garbrandt didn't have a chance, because Garbrandt's dangerous, man. We knew what he brought to the table. But he showed me more than I thought he had. I mean, we knew about his power. I didn't know that his movement was going to be that solid, and that his cardio was going to be that solid. Here's what I think. because you could see the confidence and you could see Garbrandt's understanding of Cruz
yeah.
improve over time. I think if they fight again, I don't think it's even close. I think Garbrandt has Cruz figured out. And I mean that as no disrespect to Cruz.
No, for sure.
Because I love Dominic Cruz as a fighter. I love him as a person. I love him as an analyst. I love everything. But the way that Garbrandt got better and better and better as that fight won. And I know he lost the fifth round, but I think at that point he was basically just on cruise control
yeah,
and tired.
I think
if they fight again, I think Garbrandt figured out the Cruz riddle tonight.
I agree, but there's something about Dom. Dom is so cerebral when it comes to this as well. I guarantee Dom's going to go back, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a different Dom in the sense of he realizes that his pattern maybe has a repetition to it. Like every crazy algorithm that's out there that looks and seems erratic is not as erratic as it seems
right.
when you finally see it in total. So I think if anything
that was
deep,
else, dude, that was deep.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was deep.
I think if anything, Dom being the way that Dom is and the way he breaks shit down, I think if he looks at the way he fought in this and his pattern, his movement, I think he would probably recognize himself that, hey, I'm showing too much in this. I'm doing something like this.
Well,
so you never know. I mean, like, Dom might come out and have a different way that he does
fair.
His movement. Maybe he only does the erratic patterns every once in a while. Maybe he does more straightforward. Maybe he realizes that he himself wasn't even really kicking at the legs. He did it for a portion and then stopped because I think he's so confident that he can do these movements and throw these awkward angled punches that catch guys, but they weren't hitting anything. So what do you do when that doesn't work? And I think he didn't have that answer tonight, but I think going forward, he's going to find that I need to have a proper plan B and a proper plan C when that
sure.
doesn't work. And that wasn't there tonight because I think they were still confident that that would work. But now they realize that they've ran into somebody that's figured that out. So they got to find a way. And he's the kind of guy that he's going to adapt. He's something else. I don't think we've seen fully, but just for the fact that how much we've seen this guy come back out of injury and out
That's
of time
a great
away.
Point.
And he's always just like leave you dumbfounded. We're like, holy shit, how did Dom do that again? So I think he's still got some more tricks. I think he can still switch it up because I think if he recognizes where he still fits into a rhythm that can be seen. I think what worked for him before was because people couldn't find out the rhythm. But now he sees that people are finding his rhythm.
Yep.
He's just got to switch it up. And I think he's capable of doing that. And even if it is TJ, and if Dom had to do another fight, which kind of seems weird, but really, it's not like he's defended his belt like a million times or anything. I think he could still dumbfound most guys, and it'd be interesting to see what the next version. And I thought Dom looked good. I thought this whole week he came in, he looked thick, he looked big, and he still, even though it did look like he tired a little bit, I thought that was just for the fact that he looked bigger than we normally see him, and maybe
yep.
like he was putting on and going for more strength as opposed to some of the speed and finesse that he
That's
was doing. I think there's still some tricks that Dom can pull out that people aren't ready for. And I think he's going to go back and look at this performance, put his analytical brain behind it. And I think we're going to see an even better Dom. Will it be enough to beat Cody? Maybe not right now, but I don't think Cody's going to be his next opponent. I think they'll give him another fight before that just to kind of, and I think he's probably wants that as well. I would think Dom probably wants to get in there, demolish somebody and then take another stab at Cody, and maybe he's hoping that TJ will do that and maybe TJ pull off the thing, because I think Cody or Dom has no problem, because I think he thinks he can take TJ with no problem.
Well, good timing here, because as we're sitting here, our good friend Mark Fellows from down in Australia, by the way, has just tweeted and sent a copy of a ticket. He put $100 down on Nunes and Garbrandt on a parlay.
Nice.
That paid him $605. So he said Frosty Beverages are on him next time.
Well,
man.
You know, he obviously paid attention to Cold Coffee's picks and not John
so he's
Morgan's
like,
picks.
Cold Coffee's beverages are on me. John Morgan can go to hell. All right, so you touched on it. So let's talk about it real quick. TJ Dillashaw defeating John Lineker. Dillashaw just looked incredible, man. I mean, yeah. Lineker is tough as nails. I mean, and really tough as nails. I mean, Dillashaw even laughed at the post-fight press conference. He was like literally ducking his head into my elbows, dude. Like, he's crazy. You know, yeah. Or leaning into my elbows, yeah. Is what he said. Lineker, dude, that guy is so fun to watch, and he's such a tough dude and an awesome dude. But Dillashaw, to me, proved again that he's one of the top pound-for-pound fighters in the world. Just a complete mixed martial artist. Looked yep. incredible. So, but here's what happened. So, TJ Dillashaw gets done fighting. He says, I'm number one. I get the winner, you know? I'm down. And then Cody Garbrandt beats Cruz, and he's like, come and get some motherfucker, which I thought was awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, very cool.
I was a little surprised at that.
Right? He dropped the yeah. MF bomb there.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. But then Cody Garbrandt in the post-fight talk starts to walk it back a little bit, says, maybe I'll do a Cruz rematch, you know? And I don't know if that was gamesmanship, or I'm not exactly sure what was going on there. For you, what would you rather see? A rematch, or do you feel like Dillashaw Garbrandt's the fight to make?
I'd be totally down to watch Dom run it back, for yeah? sure. I thought that fight was awesome. But I'm not opposed to TJ as well. I think that's a huge Styles fight. You know, they say Styles makes fights. I mean, we saw what happened. I mean, I think a lot of people think when it comes to that erratic movement and the striking style, while TJ does have his own unique version of it, I think a lot of people were saying it was a poor imitation.
Poor man's version.
Of Dom's version. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we saw what happened with Dom's version. But TJ has some power too. And I think if anything, in some aspects, early on, TJ has more power than Dom does. I think Dom wears you on when eventually the guys towards the end are a little bit more depleted.
Right.
That he's able to kind of dominate and do a little bit more. I think TJ has probably, well, not equal to what Cody is, but he has, in the sense of the early rounds, he is like super strong. And I think he has finishing power, finishing ability. But I just think he's, I think it'll be a good fight, but I think where Cody's at right now, I don't think TJ would take it. I think it would be a good fight, but I think if anything, too, there's a lot of emotions, and I think a lot of people were saying that Cody yeah. was going to be over-emotional, but I thought he did a wonderful job of staying out of his head, even though I might take that statement back because some of that fucking movements that he was doing and the dance shit that he was obviously caught up in that moment and almost like, you know, playing to his friends, playing to his boys. Like,
I thought it was a huge mistake.
Watch me do this, huge mistake. And hopefully somebody will set him down and say, hey, you know, let's have fun. Let's do a little whatever, but let's not be ridiculous. But I don't know. When you're at that level, maybe, you know, what we saw as being, like, just overly crazy. In his mind, he might be like, bro, I could have laid down. I was about ready to lay down and just invite him.
Like a Diaz.
Just be like, I'm so ahead of it. I'm just going to lay down and be like, come here. Give it to me, you know. But I would almost, if I had to pick between the two, I'd almost want to see how he did against Dom. And what's different about this is like the way that we saw this very, very dominant. But I love the fact that he's like, bring it back, Dom, where other champions who have had easy wins over people haven't wanted to go back there and revisit it. So instead of saying like, oh, I demolished that division, I don't want to go there, he's like,
who are you talking about?
I don't know.
Who are you referring to?
I'm just throwing that out there. Like, I'm just throwing it out there.
Like former featherweight champions?
I'm just saying.
Oh, no, if you
if you dominate that easy, why not go back and dominate that easy again?
That's funny.
But it's
you know, if Cole Coffey can get in a jab on Conor McGregor, he's going to get in a jab on Conor McGregor.
No, I'm not just saying.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. It is refreshing. It is refreshing. He's like,
I love
it.
He's like, you want to come back? I don't care. Let's do it, you know?
There's almost something cooler like that. Like, bro, I already smoked you once. If you want to step up and get it again,
beat your ass.
Come get it again,
I will
son.
Do it again.
Come get it again, son.
Yeah.
There's something kind of cool about that. Like, it's almost like
if anything, I can see where, all right, so say we're talking about Conor.
That's who you're referring to.
That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying it's tough to beat 13 seconds.
Right.
So You only can go down from there.
I get, yeah.
Because if you beat them again, but it took two rounds, they'll say, "Oh, you're slipping."
Exactly.
You know. So if anything else, it's a walk off. It's a drop the mic. You never go back.
Right.
But what's lovely about, with at least with this Cody and possibly Dom thing, is I mean, almost war warranted in the sense of like somebody like Aldo was like, "You are the fucking champ forever. Let's give you another shot." But I love the fact that Cody's like, that was a fun battle. That was fun. He got me with some shots. I got in there. So I guess you don't have that aspect in the whole Aldo thing since he never actually laid a hand. Well, he did have, he actually made contact at the same time.
That's true.
It was like the Rocky Apollo thing. But it's like, you never actually got to see that in Rocky. What if one of them actually got dropped, but they never actually brought that out in the movie? Think about that. That's deep,
deep
right
bro.
There.
You're getting deep,
I'm
bro.
Just so deep tonight,
that's
man.
The stuff that happens on New Year's Eve at 5 o'clock in the morning.
But no, I'd be down for either one. To make a longer answer longer. I think both would be good. I think, if anything, now that the Cody set it up there and actually welcomed it, it's hard for them to back away. And the fact that Dom was like, I deserve an immediate rematch. The fact that he's like, fuck it. If TJ wants to go, I'll wait. I'll watch. I'll whatever. It's kind of tossing up a softball like, Dana here, make this one happen. And I think it'd be a purely exciting one. But after, if he beats TJ, and if he does what he did to Dom, you're going to be hard-pressed to find the next contender after. Like, what do you do? Can't be Lineker, because Lineker just got handed to by TJ. Like, who's next? I don't know. Interesting questions.
You know, it's funny, man. The things you said there actually kind of made me think about talking to Joe Silva tonight. You know, Joe Silva's last event was tonight, man. End of an era. Like, legit end of an era, man.
I did not get audio, but I know where you're going. I did not get audio of him yet.
No, oh no, I was not. No, I was not going. I was not going with that. No, I did see that suggestion that we should have some audience. No, but I actually did get a chance to talk to Joe Silva tonight. Talked to him for a few minutes, and dude, he was so at peace to be walking away from the sport.
I thought
man.
The UFC dropped the ball. Let me say that. I didn't see. Maybe I missed something. I thought they had an opportunity to say goodbye to Goldie and Joe.
100%.
And they did not do
either one.
And I thought they really dropped the ball, and I thought it was a bit disrespectful that they didn't.
I agree. First of all, it's funny because I was going to get to Goldie, but since you brought it up, I was going to tweet something about this, and I didn't really know how to phrase it, but I will say this. I mean, we all knew that Goldie was losing his job, and you mentioned, man, and been, you know, been in
it's
rumblings
been,
for a
yeah,
while.
For a long time, yeah.
But I will say this, and maybe tell me, maybe I'm stupid in saying this, because I'm sure there was contractual agreements and shit like that in place. But to know that a guy is on his way out the door, but to allow him to have the microphone anyway, to have a hot mic for 6 hours, knowing that his job's over, that there's nothing on the other side of it, I think, again, I'm sure there was probably financial ties or something in there. But, I mean, I think that says something about the reputation that Goldie has as a professional, whatever. Like, maybe you like him, maybe you don't. But for the fact that we heard that he found out a couple weeks ago, I mean, he knew. It wasn't like he didn't know. To know that this was his last broadcast, and I'm sure that probably didn't make him happy. I'm sure that didn't make him feel good. But to still hand him a hot mic for 6 hours, I think that shows some faith in a guy.
It does. And he would be doing himself no favors if he did actually go on some tirade or whatever, because if anything else, I mean, like, I'm sure he's probably going to go to World Series or Bellator after this fact. Or do something. He's got something. But if he would have made a mockery of it and made the news
for
the wrong reason,
the future.
It would hurt him for the future. And I think, I mean, he's an Ohio guy. I mean, like, I think he's got that humbleness, and there's the deep down inside. He's a good person. But yeah, I think he would be shooting himself in the foot if he did something. But I thought there would maybe be something. I mean,
I didn't get
I
to see
something.
The broadcast. You guys had the feed running back.
Yeah,
did
but
he,
I didn't.
Did,
I don't
was he even allowed to do
anything.
Like a sign off or
I
something?
I didn't hear a fucking thing.
See, even if they didn't do anything special for him, I thought they should at least give him a platform to say goodbye.
Something. I don't know, man. I don't know if they were even if it wasn't the most amicable of partings. Somebody should have been the bigger person to say, this needs to happen. Not for Mike, not for Dana, not for the people in charge who were like, whatever, I'm the boss. It needs to be, but for the fans, there are a lot of people out there that are upset about it, and that are sad. For those people, give them something that they could fucking put an end to the era, because that's what it was. It was 100%. An end of a huge era. I mean, you go back and watch so many of these events, and you watch so many, and regardless if it's overdone and if it's blown out and it's super cheesy in your head when you hear it's all over, blah, 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 whatever. It's a huge part of the history of the company, and you should have gave the guy a send-off, whether or not you're friendly with it, whether or not it was some bad contract thing and everybody's pissed off. You owe the fans some closure, and you didn't give any of that, if anything else. Now there's more question. There's more parts where I can see where fans are now are going to be more upset about the fact that they didn't get what they all wanted. I guarantee half the people that were watching it wanted to see something. I'm not even the biggest whatever when it comes to Goldie. Like, I'm not a huge fan. I respect what he did, but I know there are a lot of times he said some stupid-ass shit. I say stupid ass shit, but
I had fun watching him run to the bathroom all the time on fight night. Right? Smallest bladder in the world.
I mean, but still, just for what he did, I mean, you need to have. But I mean, this is also the same company that, well, not the same company because it's not the same company. Let's be real about that. That unceremoniously got rid of Chuck Liddell, and you know, I mean. And I mean,
there should have been something. Love the guy or hate the guy.
There should have been something.
Let the guy again.
It should have been.
If you're
something.
Not gonna, if you're not gonna do something special for him, just at least give him a second to say, you know. And that wraps up UFC 207. We head into a new era in 2017.
Yeah.
You know, blah blah blah. Let me just say thank you for my terms. Just something.
Maybe there was something when we went away. Maybe we'll find out. We'll be jackasses. Like normally, like after the event, we pretty much lined up to go.
I mean,
maybe
we usually find out we're jackasses.
A lot of sometimes at the end they'll have their closure where they're sitting octagon side and they might say something about the show. Maybe there was something. I don't think there was. I mean, but they should have made something during the broadcast, top of the pay per view, or something where there was that little break.
I don't think there was. Somebody tagged me on a tweet that his son sent and said, my dad did so much for the UFC over the past 13 years and they didn't even give him a proper goodbye. What a joke.
Okay, well then I guess we were right in thinking that nothing was done. I mean, it's unfortunate and that's the kind of thing that even if they feel after the fact that they dropped
the
ball.
Then he retweeted, my bad, 20 years. What an embarrassment, not 13 years.
Yeah, I mean, They dropped the ball big time on that one, and that's the kind of thing you can't even fix. You can't go back after the fact like, oh, hey, you know, next week let's do whatever. You should have done it right then when all the eyeballs were watching, where people are paying it, because everybody, especially the people that buy the pay-per-views, that's the voice they recognize and they remember.
100%.
And that's his last time there, and you didn't give him a sign-off. Everybody. Every major sport gives a sign-off to their longtime people. I mean, if you want to be on the same level of them, you got to have the same respect like the other ones do. I mean, you know, put petty arguments aside and realize that
it's
bigger.
Just give a man some due.
Give the man his due. I mean, because it's not, like I said,
I agree.
It's not for just Goldie, and it's not just for whoever's on the top, not Dana, whatever. I'm not trying to say whoever, but for the fans. The fans wanted it. And, yeah, they missed a good opportunity to have a good PR moment, which you needed to have.
I agree. Maybe we can follow up with him. And
We should.
We definitely should. All right. So I had a chance to talk to Joe Silva, and I actually would love to talk to Goldie. I did have a chance to talk to Joe Silva briefly tonight. Joe Silva does not give a shit about the spotlight, does not want to do interviews. I definitely would love to do one with him, but he just doesn't care. He is going to go home and do martial arts every day and watch movies and play video games. And he said that's literally going to be his day every day. That's all he ever wanted to do. Told a great story to me and Kevin Ioli about the fact that, because I think some people know this, but some people know, Joe Silva doesn't have a driver's license. And he explained the fact the reason he never got a driver's license was because he realized that if he got a driver's license, that means that he would have to, like, have a car, pay for a car, pay for maintenance, pay for gas, pay for insurance, and that would probably mean that he had to get, like, a job to pay for all that stuff, and he never wanted to do any of that stuff. So that's why he didn't get a driver's license, because he never wanted to get a job to have to pay for all that stuff. I mean, this dude lived the most ridiculous life ever. I mean, wrote in a letter to the UFC staff at the time, just was a martial arts fan, explaining how he thought they could do better, ended up getting brought on by the organization, became such a well-respected part of the organization that he made millions of dollars and is able to walk away and not do shit. And I'm like, Joe, like, after a while, you're going to get bored, right? Like, you're going to work. And he's like, oh, hell no. He's like, dude, I won't get bored. He's like, I'm going to train martial arts every day. I'm going to watch movies. I'm going to play video games. And it's great, man. So kudos to that guy just literally walking away from the top. But it's funny because it made me think kind of full circle or whatever. It made me think about Ronda Rousey. Like, I've always said, and it was Joe Silva and Sean Shelby that have always had this explanation that, like, listen, professional prize fighting is not a career. It's an opportunity. You know, it's a window of opportunity. You come in, you cash in, you make as much money as humanly possible, and then you get the F out while you still can. And it's funny because Ronda Rousey debuted for the UFC in February of 2013, man. We're not even talking about 4 years ago. She had 8 UFC fights. I think we both agree she'll never have one again, but she never has to work again either.
Yeah.
She came in, seized her moment, seized her opportunity, made millions of dollars, and is done. And I don't know, this, I think maybe there's something kind of fitting about the fact that here's Joe Silva walking away. I mean, has all the passion in the world for MMA, but admits that this job is stressful as hell.
Yeah.
He's walking away. And you see somebody like Ronda walking away, and it's like, man, that's crazy. She only fought in the UFC 8 times. Man, that's probably exactly what you're supposed to do. Maybe the best thing in the world is to not ever make it to the top tier of that Reebok payout, man. You don't need to know nothing about that 20-plus UFC fights, man. Come in, get your 7 to 9 fights, cash in, and then get the hell out, man. There's something to be said for that.
That's true. Man. And it's funny, you know, I felt like a douche earlier when I was like, oh, said something about Goldie. I was like, yeah, they should do something. And Damon Martin, another fine Buckeye, pointed out, well, the whole show should be dedicated to Joe Silva. And I was like, man, you're right. I mean, half the cats, if not more of that fought tonight, those are Joe Silva guys. You know, guys that he brought in. I mean, literally, they could have did a bit where every story or every video intro before a fight, instead of just a guy talking about how his opponent, he's gonna do whatever, he could have did a story of how he was brought in. I mean, there's probably a story on both sides every time. The guys that had great stuff being brought in, they probably had horror stories of where it didn't really work out as well. You know, I hate that guy. You know, but I mean, he's done so much for the sport. He's done so much for that organization that they literally probably could have had a story for every guy where somehow the movements and the changes and the things that he put together had changed all these fighters' lives. But yeah, what a crazy character. I mean, so many stories. I remember just us being in Brazil and other stories of sitting at like these random restaurants eating before we'd leave or whatever, and just having Joe come just tell crazy stories about whatever, and just being such an entertaining guy to be around. And I know a lot of guys give a lot of heat about, you know, having to be a tough guy and toe a line when it comes to certain things. But he was just probably one of these most unique guys, just into like weird shit that you wouldn't think anybody would be into, and just like pull conversations out of you know, just total left field that just threw you for your loop. You're like, what the fuck?
Oh, he's well read.
Oh, dude, it's very, very unique. But I thought that was
atheist?
Really, it was really
out
nice.
There. I don't think that's not.
No. I mean, just different, just thought patterns on even like things that just seem normal. It's like he would have a different view that would make you just question that normal view, because he'd come a different flair. But Something I did this week, the weigh-ins, when Sean Shelby posted the picture of him and Joe, I thought that was really, really nice. And it kind of started to make it sink in a little bit. You know, them, you know, because at the time they're never on the stage together. Mm-hmm. And the fact to see them both there, you know, just kind of the whole changing of the guard and that little moment, you know, it can just kind of got me. I didn't get choked up, but as much as choked up as you can get of the fact when you realize that there's an end of an era and just a changing of the guard happening. That's literally what that was.
This shit's changing right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I mean, right, and now we're seeing more and more and more. And I still tell you, next, after Goldie, all the whatever, Ariane and Brittany. They're going. That's my pick. Was I right about the company selling? Was I right about this? I'm just saying it. I'm just saying it. I'm laying it out now.
Bold.
They're two of the next ones. I don't want to see him go.
Cold coffee.
Cold coffee.
Bold predictions.
Possibly wrong predictions.
All right. Man, yeah, dude, it's a crazy wrap to the year. Let's just burn through the card real quick. Dong-Gun Kim. God bless you. There's no way you beat Tarek Saafedine, dude. I don't understand. I don't know. Yeah. Did you guys have a chance to watch that in the back or not?
Every time I looked up, I mean, we are doing some interviews. Every time I looked up, Saafedine was opposing his will, was controlling it. And then, you know, we didn't see the end. And I remember asking somebody, I was like, hey, so what happened on that win? Saafedine got the win, right? And they're like, no. I was like, what are you talking about? And then we started hearing the stories of everybody was just like, dude, it was a robbery, blah, blah, blah.
I think it was a robbery, man. And I love Dong-Gun Kim, man. I think he's.
Well, I did ask him about that. So people have to go back and watch the poster. I said, did you think you did enough? Did you think you did enough? And in his mind, he thought he did. He thought he won the third round. And I think he said he thought he won the first round as well. And he gave Tarek the second round.
God bless you, dog. Okay. All right. Ray Borg. Ray Borg looked fantastic. Beating Lewis Smolka. You know, obviously, Lewis Smolka has become a good friend of ours, man. He's just got a great personality, and he always likes to hang out. But Ray Borg looked phenomenal, dude. Like, that guy.
He looked like a guy that didn't cut weight. Like, I'm just kidding.
Bro, if you're cool with me coming in like 3.5 over, dude.
Yeah,
I'm
you know,
good.
If you're good. But I do, and if you go back and watch the interviews on Junkie, he credits a lot his coaches. And what a fucking stellar bunch of coaches. You got Greg Jackson, all those cats. He's doing the right things. And he was apologetic of how he missed weight. He said he wouldn't do it again. I know we've heard that before from different guys. But I believed it. He seemed sincere. He seemed he was upset. I asked him if he talked to Lewis after he missed weight or if it was just a matter of, was it just the people talking? And he talked about how his manager jumped in, did what they needed to do to get the numbers right or whatever. But he said he did apologize to Lewis. Lewis accepted his apology. I always think that's nice when a fighter, if you're gonna miss it like that, please at least reach out. Do the humanly thing and say, I'm sorry, I messed up, whatever, sure. Can we still do this? Because there's no guarantee they're going to take it. We saw that with Neil, who we thought, you know, he had told us one thing at one point, was like, I'm not going to do it. I did that before. It didn't work out in my favor. I actually asked him about that as well. I was like, dude, you said you weren't going to do it. Then you did it. But as we found out from what Johnny's pay is, that nice little thing, that makes a big, big difference. Probably not the same situation.
Well, dude, I mean,
when it came to Ray Borg.
Here's the thing, and I'm not saying this was a difference in the fight, because Ray Borg looked phenomenal. But you are right, dude. Like, Ray didn't make weight. Lewis Smolka looked like, as we said pre-fight, a damn zombie. You know what I mean?
He
like,
dude,
he literally stepped on the scale for the official ceremony, or the official ceremony, the official weigh-ins, and didn't look like he, like I guarantee you, man, he didn't see you, he didn't see me, he didn't see shit.
He looked like he couldn't lift, or just the thought of lifting up his arms for a pose was so out of the world, because, you know, he just didn't have the strength.
And I don't want to take away from Ray, because Ray looked phenomenal. I think Ray, dude, is, I think he's legit talent. He's had some stutters, he's had some missteps along the way, but man, I think he's a beast. But yeah, I mean, man, it sucks.
He's big for that weight group.
Yeah,
and I mean, he's not the tallest dude, but he's thick.
He's got
weight for it.
And not that there's any natural transition there into the Neil Magny versus Johnny Hendricks fight, but I did want to ask you about this. Now, you know what? I want to ask kind of what you guys thought backstage, because to me, I thought this was a clear, I don't, clear might be the wrong word, but I think Neil Magny won this fight. I think Neil Magny won this fight 29-28, even though he was on his back in the first round, even though he was on his back in the third round, because of the way he finished both rounds with the submission attempts, with the strikes.
I was going to say, he's on his back, but he's ending in a submission attempt.
Like, and elbows and punches.
Yeah.
But, dude, I don't know if you guys, like, what you guys were doing when the decision was read and how the sound transferred there. But, dude, it was the loudest boos I've heard in T-Mobile Arena yet.
Really?
Everybody, I guess, thought that Johnny Hendricks won. And God bless Johnny Hendricks, man. I love Johnny Hendricks. But I didn't think he won the fight, man. I thought it was Neil Magny. And, I had a couple people hit me up on Twitter saying I'm a dumbass. What do I know? But to me, man, I thought Neil Magny won this fight. Granted, Johnny Hendricks showed that he had great wrestling, man. He got lots of takedowns. But, dude, to me, getting a takedown and just sitting on top of somebody, that's not enough to win a fight.
Yeah.
Just taking somebody down and sitting on top of them and not punching them, it kind of made me think about the Roy Nelson, Derek Lewis fight back in the day when Roy Nelson kept getting takedowns but wasn't doing anything once he got on top of him. Like, no offense, but that doesn't win fights.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, the lasting impressions I had of watching those rounds when Johnny took him down was the elbows being dropped on the head, you know, the strikes being happening, the possibility that a finish was so imminent in both of those ends of the rounds.
Yep.
And like we said, sometimes it's that lasting impression that you see that just wins it over. And yeah, I saw the people saying that Johnny got robbed or whatever. I didn't feel there was any sort of robbery.
All right, I'm glad I wasn't crazy.
No,
man.
I mean, I didn't hear a peep from anybody, at least in our particular room, that thought it was any sort of a robbery. Because every time I looked up, yes, Neil was on his back, but we see that it's just not enough to take a guy down and get on top. You have to do damage. You have to do something. When the fact that the guy on the bottom is putting you in a submission attempt and striking you more, and you're not even striking back, how can you say that just for the fact that you're on top, that outweighs the fact that the guy is striking effectively on
you? I agree.
You know?
If it's 50-50 striking and you're on top, then yours probably weighs more because you're punching down versus punching up. I remember Mark Lehman used to come into MMA Junkie Radio all the time and be like, hey, listen, he's like, if I was on top of you and I threw a brick down at you and you were below me and you threw a brick up at me, like, which one's going to hurt more? You know what I mean? You're like, okay, that's a great point. But it wasn't 50-50. It wasn't 50-50 at all. All right, Antonio Carlos Jr. Shoeface picked up a decision win over Marvin Vettori. Kind of a weird fight, but I thought it was the right decision. Alex Garcia starched Mike Pyle. Man, I love me some Mike Pyle. One of the coolest, nicest, greatest dudes that has been around the Las Vegas scene forever. But he's in his 40s now. A couple of devastating knockout losses. Again, I never want to be somebody to tell somebody to walk away, but I got to think he's got to be at least close, man. It was tough to watch, man. And the tough part was, man, just, you know, seeing him fight as many times as we have, being around his team at Syndicate MMA, you know, Extreme Couture for the longest time, whatever. But, you know, once he kind of woke up, so to speak, and then kind of gathered his wits about what was happening, man, to watch the realization of him processing it and how pissed off he was with himself that it happened, and it was tough to watch. Nico Price, our good friend Alex Davis, who always gives us a tip on guys, he had told me, watch out for Nico. Nico is a wild man, dude. That dude is an interesting cat, but he picked up a big submission win over Brandon Thatch. And it's funny because we had a little break and I actually walked back to the back to grab a cup of coffee. Warm coffee, and you were back there actually talking to him, and so I happened to kind of walk back there at that time. Nico seems like an interesting cat.
Yeah, he's a bundle of energy and very, very interesting. I didn't know much about this cat before this fight card, but his fighting style and just his enthusiasm and his energy at the end, he's another guy that I think a lot of people should probably keep their eyes on, because this. He has the right elements to catapult to the top. If you didn't know about him, I mean, I'm certainly definitely going to pay more attention about him. I actually picked against him in our little picks on the back.
Oh, terrible.
But I did, I will say, me and Dave Bandel tied for number one. Just destroyed your boy Ariel. Destroyed. Wasn't even close. We won out. So it would be MMA Junkie
Wait,
and
Sure Dog. Wait, you guys
do
picks in the back?
Yeah. They sometimes do it. Sometimes it's just usually me, Casey, and like Dave and maybe Fang or something. So we have our own little picks in the back. So
you don't put any money on it, or is
it's just kind of a. Actually, even Arrow said, like, what's in it? You know, it's like, I guess it's just bragging rights till we're all back in the back room again. You know, so today, Sherdog and Junkie tied for number one.
Nice.
Ariel and Fighting did not do so well.
No.
Casey and him both, I think. It's weird because Dave's scoring was, like, weird how he was doing, but whatever. Yeah, we blew him out. Nobody was close. But
you got to get something more official with that. People might like that. A little cross-site.
A little cross-whatever or something. I don't know. It's fun. It's certainly something to amuse us in the back, you know, when we're stuck back there week after week with each other. Just, if anything, we can – it's not even like we even rib each other, like, oh, I fucked you up last week or whatever. It's just more like whatever.
Like, if you're the lowest – right, you have to like delete all your video or something.
But it's like, if you're gonna be stuck in a back room with some dudes for like 6 or 7 hours, it's like,
well, who hasn't been stuck in a back room with some dudes for six or seven hours?
and Fang, a bunch of dudes and Fang. You know, it helps just pass the time or whatever. But I didn't know much about this dude, but after watching that, I was like, man, I picked wrong on that cat, but I definitely. With his performance tonight, I would definitely lean more in some Nico Price action next time.
He's solid. And then first fight of the night, I just want to say, I got to throw this out there real quick. I'm sorry, man. I didn't even hear what Tim Means said when he apparently called all the media out or whatever. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't even hear the quote. I love Tim Means, man. He's a fun fighter. He's great. But, dude, I'm sorry. And I love Dan Mirigliotta, man. I like Dan Mirigliotta, man. I really do. I think he's a top official. He's always treated me with class. He's always been open to discussing things with me. I think he made a mistake. And yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm cool with people telling me I wrote a bad article or I made a bad pick or whatever. Like, I'm a dumbass that picked Ronda Rousey tonight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with that.
Let me just remind people again. I did not.
Shut up.
And I was right.
I just don't understand how this was a no contest. I really do not. To me, clearly illegal knees, clearly thrown with intention. What I was told is that Dan Mirigliotta, basically based on the positioning, thought that Tim Means didn't realize that Alex Oliveira's knee was down based on the body positioning. And that's good. At least I'm fine with that. Like, I love hearing that Dan Mirigliotta had a thought process and here's what he saw, because at least that, you know what I mean? Like, I always say, like, I wish judges would have to explain their scorecard. Just tell me what you saw. Tell me what you thought you saw. You know what I mean? And if we find out you're wrong, you're wrong. Okay, fine. So I love the fact that Dan Mirigliotta at least had this, you know, point of view and here's what he thought. I just think he happened to make a mistake.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him a bad official.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him, it doesn't make him anything. He's a great official. I just think he made a bad call on this decision. And to me, all day, all night, this was a disqualification. That's no disrespect to Tim Means. That's no disrespect to Dan Mirigliotta. I think a mistake was made in this call. And I kind of hope, we'll see if it happens. It sounds like it will. I kind of hope that if it's appealed, that the Nevada State Athletic Commission will step up and be like, hey, a mistake was made. We need to rectify this.
Yeah.
Whether or not it will, I don't know.
Yeah, because you feel a lot of times they don't want to lose face. You know, they want to
– right.
They're always on team their guys.
And
you
fair
know,
enough.
Like, and I completely get it. I understand that. But, yeah, at some point you got to realize that, yeah, these guys do make mistakes. But it's just weird that – how it came out with just like the accidental, because it
was
accidental.
Well, you guys, since this was the first fight of the night, you hadn't done any interviews yet, so you guys are chilling watching the fights.
Yeah.
You guys got to hear the commentary. I didn't. It sounded like the commentary, like they were like, oh, this is legal. It's fine. Everything's good.
Well, that's because they got Ratner on there. And Ratner's like, no, yeah, it's good. You know, if it's just the knee and it doesn't have a hand down, it's not whatever.
And that's not true.
It's not true. We even having our own little debate in the back room, you know, and not arguing, but we were talking about it. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, when we went back and I looked up the things, and you actually tweeted out as well, you know, anything other than the souls of the fighter down, it's a downed opponent.
Right.
And the fact that they did it, but it was just weird the fact that they went with the whole accidental route, where it just seemed to me almost like it was trying to save face for McCarthy or for Burgada, yeah, you know, where, because sometimes when you see what we've seen in other times, and part of us, when I remember thinking when they were saying, like, oh, okay, it could be legal, I was like, oh, please, Alex, don't say you can't continue. Don't say you can't continue. Because all I could think in my head was, like, when we've seen refs make mistakes before, and instead of, you know, put them back in or whatever, and the fighter's at a point where he can't continue, they just get a loss. And it's like, even though they fuck up and, right, and the ref makes a mistake, The fighter takes the fall.
You were worried that
he
was going to take a TKO loss.
I was thinking he was going to get a TKO loss because he couldn't go in because he had made a mistake, and instead they kind of did this weird correction of it and did this whole accidental whatever, which was going to be a no contest, but maybe they were unsure of it, and at the time that was the quickest way to get the fight over so they can go back, almost in the sense that they knew that it would be fixed after the fact. And it's not like they can be like, all right, guys, we're going to make this decision now, but we're going to go back and look at this after the fact and fix it, because there's no instant replay. There's no whatever that could maybe settle that sort of stuff at the time. And maybe this another call for that sort of thing to take care of itself right then and there. I mean, like, if it's a matter of, hey, it only took 10 more minutes of discussion, hold off 10 more minutes. You know, why does it need to go back and have somebody make a formal appeal to a commission, have them look at it, and then you run this whole process of maybe the commission might be like, well, we think this is like, that has nothing to do with six random-ass people that were never even there, that were something, whatever. Let's take care of it right then. Let's put it on a video thing. Let's gonna look at it. We'll see that whatever. Make a decision right
there.
It's
just like, I mean, like when we see in the NFL, right, where they do an instant replay and a call is overturned, like nobody instantly goes, that ref sucks, get rid of it. Like, you just go, we wanted to make sure we got the call right, and so we went through the steps. And I hope we can get to that point in MMA because, again, I think Dan Mariglada is an awesome official, man. I really do. I think he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
All those things. I just think he made a mistake. I make mistakes on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Look at me. I make character decisions that are poor all the time. Now, moral choices.
You started a podcast with me.
Dude, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, right?
You know what I'm saying? I hope that within our community, in the MMA community, we can realize, like, dude, for one of us to look at the other and be like, bro, I think you messed up there. Let's fix this.
Yeah.
Because you said it. The commission – dude, in the history of watching this sport and being a part of it, the commission usually circles the wagons and they go, our guy didn't mess up. Like, it's okay. It's okay to admit that there was an error.
Yeah.
Let's fix it. Let's all get together on the same page. Just like an NFL referee, when it goes, you know, to the replay, they go, you know what? You're right. I fucked up. It was close.
Yep.
I thought I made the right call, but dude, I need to make a call like bang, bang. And now we have cameras and instant replay and high definition and all this. And in retrospect, I realize I screwed up. Let's fix this. Let's move on.
Yep.
First down, Cowboys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever, dude. Let's do that. Let's not get, you know, pissed off about it. Let's not feel like anybody's attacking. And I just – granted, it sounds like Tim Means was talking shit about us, but I don't care.
But it wasn't just me. He actually gave some heated words towards the fans in general as well. I think he was just frustrated. The fact that, you know, fighters go out there and put so much out there that people are quick to turn and quick to
say certain things.
But, you know, just go back to your point where it's a matter about looking at the commission and doing whatever. it just makes sense that there's some sort of process where they can look at how they do things, how they treat, you know, things when these things come out, that mistakes will happen and things do happen, but there needs to be a fact where they kind of can look and say, all right, something has to change.
What
We
were you doing
need.
with those whiskey glasses?
I
I
was
didn't
kind of moving
understand.
because she passed out,
Okay.
and she opened up the damn window, the door, and
I
it's
don't.
cold as fuck up in here. But we haven't taken a break, so I haven't been able to get up and shut it. You
Carry on,
know,
my friend. Carry on.
I don't know. Now I'm kind of forgetting what the fuck I was talking about. But no, Dan is a wonderful ref. I mean, nobody's gonna go out there, and especially the guy like that, they're not gonna try to do things in the back room. All of us were back there, and I think there's the UFC almost needs to take some responsibility for sort of propagating the misconception in the same sense, because everybody, I don't know how many times haven't we all watched an event and it's like, oh, you have to have a knee down and you have a hand down. That means a downed opponent. So I think
Right.
everybody in their head thinks a downed opponent is when his knee's down and his hand's down. 3 points of contact. You hear 3 points of contact all the time, over and over and over.
And
But
that's not even technically the rule
when you
anymore.
go
Three
back and
points
look
isn't
at the
even the rule.
rules, it's not that at all. You know, it says anything other than the soles of the fighter is on the ground. But they don't say that in the broadcast. They don't say, oh, the fighter's got his knee, his hand down, whatever. They don't say, oh, something other than the sole is down. That's a downed opponent. So, I mean, there needs to be, if anything else, there was confusion even in the
I
back
would agree.
room. It was back and forth between some of the media. And these are not just like random MMA media. Like, this is like
The people that
the
cover it
people that cover
every
the
week.
sport. There was still discussion back in the back, and we're pulling up the rules. And then to hear, like, even Ratner go on record to say something, we're just like, well, that's not
And he
quite
sounds like he
right.
messed up, right?
Yes. You know, so there was confusion there. So hopefully, eventually, it'll get something. That was what Tim was even asking for in the back, that there needs to be a clearer definition. And even at the end, I felt bad because the dude's like, well, I know the rules are going to change and this is going to clear it up. But the way he made it sound, he was like, oh, you know, and I know next year this won't be an issue, but that doesn't change. Like what they
Like
said
he
right
thought he
now,
was already playing the new
yeah. But
rules.
even like in the new rules, the new rules state, it's still going to be, if it's something more than the soul of the fighter, souls of the fighter on the ground, that's still a downed opponent. It just takes away the fact of if you have two souls on the ground and you have a hand down, that's considered a downed opponent. But going forward, that's not the case. It's got to be more than the two souls and the palm. That's not going to save somebody. That's changing. But the fact of if I have my knee down on the ground, something other than my soles on the ground, I will still be a downed opponent in the new year. But he was referencing saying that that wouldn't be the case, and I thought somebody would correct him or whatever. But at that point, it was like 6 or 7 minutes in the interview. Everything's done. We're
Like
just
now we're
like
gonna have to edit this, and then
let's just let it go. Let's just let it go. But I
we're
mean, there's confusion there, and that was one of the things he was calling for. Was just it was expressing frustration, one, at the media because they. You know, they say they're one side, and his whole thing was like, you know, I could be practicing and doing all this effort to go, and you guys will go, and in 2 minutes, in a sense, I'm paraphrasing, or actually, I'm just making my own words, shitting on what we do. But that's ultimately what he said is like, you know, you guys can go back after performance, and in 2 minutes, shit on everything we did and say how it was bad, but you don't take into account all the blood, sweat, and tears that goes
And
into
that's
it.
fair.
So he's expressing frustration. So he expressed that towards the media in the back room. He also expressed it towards the fans. He thought it was more on the fans that they need to help build up the sport. It's on them to kind of push it to the new level, you know. And some people, I sort of asked him about that. Is it really the fans' job to build it, or is it you as the fighter's job to help build it? And he kind of put a lot of that on the fans as well, almost in the sense like, if you love this sport, rep the sport, be the sport, talk it up. It's on you guys as fan. But if you break down the sport, if you bring down the sport because in one performance you think a fighter is just shit, you're kind of going against what it is. And his thing was like, if you want to build the sport, recognize what we're doing, recognize all the effort and stuff. Don't be quick to turn on it and badmouth it and bash it, think of it, own it, you love it, is at least kind of what I took from it. So even though he did vent frustration and did whatever, that's all it was frustration. By the end, he realized that he was pissy, but he had great points about it, and it was really, really good. So I encourage you guys to go back, watch the full Tim Means thing, make your own, judgments on what he was saying, and if some of that was fair criticism, because I think a lot of times we are entitled as fans of the sport. We think we can always be on the outside and not take ownership in what we can contribute as well. We want to, be happy when it's all, happy and hunky-dory, and then we all get, critical, and I think that's where Rana and her point was, the fact that you love me when I'm great, you hate me when I'm not, and you want to bash me and do whatever, but it's like, if you're fans, if you're friends, if you're whatever, be there on both sides of the coin, don't just immediately turn face. And I think he was just venting frustration, but I thought it was pretty fucking refreshing just to hear a guy finally just be like, I'm over it. Like, we're here, we're out here busting our balls, doing whatever to do what we need to do. And then you just want to hate on us because we put on a bad performance, we have a bad night, and all this other stuff. And I thought it was good. I was all about it.
I haven't got to see it yet. You know what? I'm gonna have to go watch it, man. I'm gonna have to see, because good. How I feel about this thing, man. I love the sport. I love the athletes in it. I do feel like it is our job to criticize when things are wrong, when things are bad. Yeah. But you're right, man. You can't just throw everything out. I mean, as I always say, this is the way I always say it, man. Listen, don't say or write or do anything that you wouldn't say or do or write, like, to somebody's face. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't – like, if you're going to offer a criticism – I mean, you would never tell Tim Means to his face, like, that dude just sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I could easily tell Tim Means to his face, hey, listen, man, I understand you were in the heat of the moment, but I do feel like the knees you threw were illegal. Like, Dan Mirigliotta said it looks like your vision may have been impacted of seeing where it was up. But to me, from my point of view, it looked like the knees were – that's fine. Yeah. That's discussion. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not hate.
Yeah, and he was good about it. I mean, like, as much as I said, I mean, he vented his frustration, but he also was like, I understand what you're doing. He's like, I know your media. I know it's your job to do this sort of thing. And I think he just wanted to vent, and I'm glad that he got an opportunity to vent and say
what
he needed
to. That's cool.
Now
I'm kind of excited to go watch that scroll.
No, it was good. It was probably one of the more animated ones. And also, too, Tim, he's a good dude. Such an incredible fighter, and I actually picked wrong. I did not pick Tim to win that one, so I was glad that he proved me wrong, and his post-fight post-fight interview, it's definitely worth watching, just for the fact of, if you want to hear a fighter kind of express what I think probably 90% of the fighters, even though that's the second time we use 90% tonight, maybe 89%, 88.75% of the fighters probably think the same thing, and this is finally a guy that was just like, I'm going to say something about it. And I know some have said it before, but I think it's good. I think it's good for somebody to call out media at times, call out fans at times. I mean, we do what we do, and I think a lot of times we forget about there is collateral damage, in a sense that, like you said, we could be polite and say what we are. If a guy has you could say it as polite as whatever, and it's still, without even thinking about it, it will affect a guy. A guy's going to read that. And he's going to think, like, man, he's not taking into account everything that I did. But what was nice is he's like, I realize that. I understand what you're trying to do. It just seemed to me like he wanted to vent. And I think anytime we get a fighter that's being – that's when it's like –
that's what we want,
that's when
right?
It's 100%,
that real, that passion,
that's
man.
When it's real. That's when somebody wants to go out there and fucking say this shit is fake and that this is whatever. And you watch this, something like that, and you see that frustration and you see the realness of that right there. That's the kind of thing it's like – if you want to watch something like that and then come back at me after that and say, like, I think it's still fake, it's like, bro, you're just a piece of shit. You're lying to yourself. So it was refreshing to see, I think everybody after the fact took it and they're like, fuck, after it was just like, what's funny after the fight, after he was like, yo, media, you said I couldn't wrestle or whatever. And we're all back in the back. We're like, Nobody open up with that question. We just like make sure you say that Tim knows his wrestling or whatever. But it was just it was good. But no, it's a good interview. It's definitely worth watching just for the fact of, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there probably even to agree with him that media comes, you know, a lot of times one sided. But I love the fact that he was like he was even picking on the fans, and that was probably one of the first not picking on the fans, but one of the first times I heard a fighter asked the fans, like, almost in a sense, like, you're part of this as well. It's on you as well to help grow the sport. We do what we can do. Now you do your part. And I'm just like, wow, I dig it.
So UFC 207 starts out with a fighter that calls out the media, ends with a fighter that avoids the media.
Yeah.
Crazy night.
What a crazy, crazy night.
Crazy night. Crazy year. My friend Cole Coffee, it is damn near 6 o'clock in the morning.
Holy shit, it is.
It is New Year's Eve. It's been a crazy year, bro. The MMA Roadshow has been around
the
globe.
Yeah, this is the last one before the new year.
It's the last one before the new year.
Do a shot. Do a cheers, shot for the...
Cheers with this.
Cheers.
Cheers. man, anybody that's listening and enjoying the holidays...
Still listening.
It means a lot because we just rambling at this point.
We do. And... I know there's been other times when we wanted to thank everybody. There's been a lot of people that have been, you know, that have chimed in over this whole year to say you love it, say you hate it, say whatever. But it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be able to share all the different episodes that we've done with you guys, and everything that you guys have chimed in over this year has made this so much more fun to do this sort of thing. I mean, like, last thing I wanted to do after we got out of that venue was to go back and do this, but these have become such a fun, integral part of what we do, and it's because of the fact that we know that you guys are out there listening to this, that you're paying attention to it. I mean, I know we say stupid shit. Well, I say a lot of stupid shit, and I love it when
sure.
you...
For sure.
F you. That, I love it when you guys pay attention and you call us on it, you check it on it. Just like the Tim Mean says, man, it's on you guys to help grow this thing. But I want to say I appreciate, and I know John does as well, we appreciate you guys sticking around and help grow this thing. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, I hope 2017, and I know 2017, it's our year. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. You know, there's nothing but the biggest and best things. And any other podcasts out there, I'm calling you out because this is our year. We're coming for you. We're going to take it. I'm just kidding. That's what happens after a night of
fights.
If
you don't like the MMA Roadshow, then close your laptop and do something else. But if you do, thanks for listening.